to talk about water baptism tonight. Now, on May 1st is our water baptism of the month. They do it once a month. And I would encourage you, if you've never been water baptized, this is great base teaching for you to understand what it is all about. And then you need to go to the hub and sign up for water baptism, okay, on the 1st. So pay attention so you know what's happening to you when you get baptized and what the meaning of it is. Come on in, guys. All right, so we're going to start out with prayer first. Father, we just thank you for this time around your word. Lord, I pray that you would seal it in our hearts tonight. I pray, God, that as we study it out and as we concentrate on what you're doing in us, Father, that you would give us revelation, you would give us knowledge, Father, that you would give us understanding about your principles. And we just ask you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to turn to Hebrews 6:1-2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. So those are basic principles of Christianity, right? Laying on of hands, baptism, the resurrection of the dead, resurrection of Christ, right? And the eternal judgment. Those are foundations of our Christian faith. So tonight we're going to talk about the doctrine of baptisms. And there are two baptisms of the faith here. One is the baptism of water, and the other one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So tonight we're going to touch on the baptism in water. Yeah, come on in. Nope, don't worry. So we're gonna start going through this. Now, some of you may have grown up in certain denominations where you were sprinkled as a baby and you were considered to be baptized, right? And you were considered saved in that religion, right? I'm sorry to tell you, but that is a non-truth. It is not spoken of in the Word. That is not how the Word of God puts what salvation is. So we're going to learn those principles tonight about what it is. Baptism in water. These are those misconceptions. Sprinkled as a baby. A baby baptism has absolutely zero biblical precedence and has no eternal value. None. Okay? A baby baptism gets the kid wet. That's it. That's all it accomplishes, right? It might be a ritual for the parents or for the family members because that's what they know, but it has zero foundation in the Word of God, okay? We're going to talk about what baptism is. What baptism is in some of these religions is just religious, right? There are some denominations that teach if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, you can't go to heaven, right? They teach that if you are baptized in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Ghost, it doesn't count, right? We grew up in a Pentecostal, I'm pastor's sister, so we grew up in a Pentecostal home and there was no sprinkling. We grew up where you actually went to the lake. That was pretty much the only place you got baptized is you were taken to the lake, and it was once a year they usually did it. And you went out in the lake with the pastor and you were submerged underwater and brought back up again. Well, they didn't do a lot of teaching at that time about what the purposes of baptism is or was for. And what happens and what's accomplished in the supernatural when you are baptized in water. And there's so many things that are accomplished. It's truly a supernatural experience, okay? It signifies that when you are put underneath the water, when you're submerged underwater, you are dying to sin, right? And when you come back up, you have a resurrection, a new life. Now, we all know that when we get born again, that Christ comes into our heart and we're born again, right? We repent of our sin, we're born again. Baptism is just an outward sign, an outward confession of your faith in Christ and that your dedication to Christ. That's what baptism is. But for some people, it's a thing where they have to visualize, my old self goes under and my new self comes up, Okay? And so as we go through this, hopefully I'll be able to explain it to you a little better if you're not understanding what I'm talking about. So all the principles that are accomplished with baptism is truly supernatural. It's not a religious act. Now, I was born again at age 5. I grew up in a Christian home, and I never got baptized in water till I was 30. After I had lived in sin for 13 years, done all that I wanted to do in the world, and then finally decided to rededicate my life to Christ, I came to understand and came to realize that I needed to do this for me. I needed to signify that I was dying to my old lifestyle and that I was going to walk with Christ. And I did. I was 31 years old and I got baptized in a baptismal. And truly, I really felt a supernatural change in my spirit and in my body because I was truly deciding this was a purposeful decision that I was going to follow Christ all the days of my life. And it has been, I won't tell you how old I am, but it has been more than 20 years since my rededication to Christ. And I have truly walked with him all those days. So it's an awesome, awesome experience. That word baptism comes out of a Greek word called bapto, which means to whelm or to cover fully with a fluid. To be baptized means to be submerged underneath the water. And Pastor put some, if you have your Rock Solid Faith book, Pastor's got some for examples in here. For instance, a spendthrift is said to be submerged in debt. So if you have a lot of debt, you're probably well submerged in debt over your head, right? A drunk is said to be submerged in his drink. And a grief-stricken person is said to be submerged in their sorrow. The word is regularly used for a ship that has been wrecked and submerged underneath the waves. Can you identify with that before that you rededicated or before you came to Christ, you were a wreck? Amen? And you were submerged underneath the waves of sin. I know I was. Amen? So the showings that sprinkling is not a biblical principle here, to be followed along with the example that Jesus was the first person to be baptized. He showed us as an example that this is how God would love his children to follow in Jesus' footsteps, right? Let's go to Mark 1, 9 through 11. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens depart and the Spirit ascending upon him like a dove. Then a voice from heaven came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So God is pleased when you take this step, right? It's a big step to get born again, isn't it? That was a huge step, wasn't it? Well, this is just another step in that Christian walk. It brings you up another level, right? We are going to go from glory to glory, the Word of God says, from level to level in Him. And as you open your hearts to receive from the Holy Spirit and to experience the gifts that God has given you, then you will come up glory after glory, right? You're going to come up in levels in Him. Do you have to get baptized in order to be saved or in order to go to heaven? Absolutely not. You do not need to be baptized. It is truly a choice of yours, right? There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ and receiving him as your Lord and Savior. That's it, right? I remember it growing up that a lot of people said that you weren't going to go to heaven if you didn't get baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's not true either. There's a lot of people who have gone on to glory that never got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But there are benefits to these times. There's benefits to being baptized in water, right? It truly signifies on the inside of you that a change is desired. And you know, a lot of people feel, and I've heard a lot of people say this, that, you know, if they've received Christ, but they got baptized, but yet they still struggle with sin. They feel like they have to get baptized over and over and over again in order to be free. And that's not true either. You know, you don't have to, but if that's what is in your heart to do, you can do that. You can get baptized a million times. You can get baptized every single time we have one a month. It's between your heart and your head that you have to figure out that, you know what, God is a good God. He's a redeemer of our hearts, and he is a forgiver of our sins. Amen? We don't have to get saved every single week, right? Just have to repent. So, again, we don't want to make this a doctrine. I mean, it is a doctrine. We don't want to make this a religion. We want to make this a truly heartfelt experience, all right? Paul was irate with the Jews who came in behind him in Galatia because Paul taught the simple gospel of salvation, and then the religious came behind him and added on a whole ton of other things to it. They made it rules and regulations, man-made rules and regulations. You have to obey the word of God. Now, how do you obey the word of God? By knowing the word, by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. That's how you obey the word of God, right? It's not the man-made rules. It's God's rules in the word. Galatians 1, 6 through 9 says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say it again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. The word of God is true. Amen? It's true. And there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? I'm sorry? I'm on page 76 in the blue book. Okay? So what is the purpose of baptism? The purpose is always a supernatural result. When you become born again, you become a supernatural being. Amen? Your life should be supernatural. Supernatural things should be happening in your life, right? Why? Because Christ lives there, and he is supernatural. Amen? Jesus never did anything to create a ritual. And whatever he did do, he showed us to do always as a supernatural result that a person can expect a change in their life. So again, baptism signifies you're dying to your old self. You're coming up a new creature, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a supernatural change from the inside out. So people should be seeing you and interacting with you on a daily basis. They should be seeing a change in you, right? When we get born again, people should see a change in us. They should be able to identify. They may not know exactly, oh, they must be born again, but they're going to say about you and to you, you're different. Or, did you know Sue is different right now? I don't know what's happened to her, but something's happened to her. That's Jesus happening to her. Amen? And that's what we want people to see in us. We want people to see that change. Water baptism does nothing for your spirit because your spiritual man is now possessed by the Holy Spirit. Once you get born again, your spirit comes alive. Before, you were dead in your trespasses, right? You were dead. Your spirit was dead in your trespasses. When you become born again, you become alive in your spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, or do you not know that your whole body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Guess what? You are bought with a price. Whose price were you bought with? Jesus Christ, amen, and his blood. You were bought with a price. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You do not belong, you no longer belong to yourself. You belong to God, amen? Excuse me while I get a drink here. So that work that happens in baptism is working within your soulish man. Remember, the word of God tells us that we are a three-part being. We are spirit first, right? We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Come on, rock solid faith graduates, right? And we live in a physical body, right? So we have three parts to us. Our spirit man, when we become born again, is alive to Christ, right? It's our soulish man that we need to get under control and to crucify. The way we think, the way we talk, the way we act, our behavior, our attitudes. Those are the things that we have to begin to take control over once we get born again. Because we want them to line up with the word, right? I don't want to be saved and then act like the devil every day. That's not how I should be behaving. There are certain characteristics that God calls us to, right? Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, temperance. Galatians 5:23-24, the scripture references there. But those are the characteristics of God. That is what he has put on the inside of you when you get born again. Those are the things that need to be worked out of you. They need to be able to come rise to the surface, right? And, you know, those things do rise to the surface when we're put to our test. Like in James 1 that says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. When we come up against a trial or a test, when you get squeezed, what's coming out, right? We want the word to come out of us. We want the love of Christ to come out of us. And as we grow as Christians, those things get developed into us. Those characteristics get developed in us. So what is your soulish man? So we've already established that, your mind, your will, your emotions. The purpose for water baptism is to break the power of the flesh over your life. This is a supernatural experience that destroys bondages in the soulish realm of each one of us. So an opportunity, if you are struggling with a sin, and this is something that you have been struggling with for a while, you may want to go get baptized. Why? You're signifying to your own self that, you know what? I am an overcomer. Jesus is going to, the Holy Spirit is going to help me overcome these bondages, these strongholds, these ways of thinking, right? And it's a signification in the spirit realm, in the spirit realm. In the natural, you're just getting wet. But in the spirit realm, something is happening, right? Bondages are being destroyed. What is a soul tie? These are emotional relationships that are not godly and bring destruction rather than health. These may be relationships that you've had that where maybe you were had intimate relationships with somebody that you were not married to. Those are soul ties. Your soul is affected by that. Amen? Addictions with alcohol, drugs, sex, pornography, whatever. Those are strongholds that you may be fighting against, but as you take the time to get baptized, you're signifying that, no, I'm going to allow God to lead and guide me in the right way. Amen? And to break those bondages off from you. Hurts, emotional wounds from your past, heartbrokenness. Maybe you grew up in a really bad childhood home and you've been damaged. Well, God wants to heal you, right? There's salvation means sozo. Nothing broken, nothing damaged. Complete in every respect. Spirit, soul, and body, right? Everything is complete. And so God wants you healthy from the inside out. Completely. Baptism helps signify to break that power of sin over our lives. Let's look at Romans 6:1-7. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, you were buried with him through baptism into death. That was just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. We're called to walk a new walk when we become born again. That doesn't mean that you get saved on Sunday and, oh, miraculously your whole, you know, speech changes automatically. You know, there's a time where you become sanctified. God takes those things out of you, those old habits. He gets rid of those old habits in you as you stay in the word, as you read the word, as you spend time in prayer, you change, right? I used to cuss like a pirate. Hello. Really, truly. And, you know, and I don't do that anymore. You know, and I know it's only because God changed me. I couldn't change that in myself, but the Holy Spirit changed me. Amen? But it was because I took the time to get into the Word and to study the Word and to pray and ask God to take those old habits of mine and destroy them, because I didn't want to live like that anymore. Amen? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So when you become born again, you are freed from sin, right? Sometimes it takes a while for us to, our brain to catch up with the fact that, you know what? I am free from sin. I don't have to receive torment from the devil anymore. I don't have to receive temptation anymore to do that old thing I used to do. This is God working the stuff out in you. And it takes time, right? It just takes time. So be patient with yourself. God is always going to be patient with you. He's a merciful God. Amen. But a lot of times we struggle with stuff and we are not patient with ourselves. Allow God to bring the changes, but dive into the Word, because that's where the change is going to come from. Amen? So when you get baptized, things change in our lives. Our nature changes. When we are not serving Jesus, we had the nature or the characteristics of our father, the devil, at that time, right? Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says, "And you have been made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air," that's the devil, "the spirit whom now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you were once conducted yourselves in the lusts of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature of children of wrath, just as the others." So we all used to walk in that nature, right? We used to be followers of the devil. Now we're followers of Jesus. Isn't that good? I am so pleased. Honestly, my life has been so exciting since I decided to follow Christ. And I was just in depression and just misery for years because I just didn't want to do things God's way. But honestly, when I received Jesus, things changed. I changed. I am no longer the same person. Amen? I don't want to be that person anymore. The nature of an unbeliever is that of his father, the devil. It is not that they are worshiping Satan with understanding. There are some who worship Satan with understanding. But people who are not born again, they don't understand that they're really serving Satan. They really don't. They just think they're doing their own thing. But really, we either serve one or the other. We either serve Jesus or we're serving Satan. Amen? But there are only two choices, and I want to serve the King of Kings. And the nature of an unbeliever is that of sin. So don't be shocked when a sinner acts like a sinner, because that's their nature, right? That's their nature. Today, a perfect example. A girl called me from work, and she was chit-chatting. Next thing I know, she's gossiping, and I'm like, oh, I have to go. I really got something I got to take care of here. I don't want to get caught up in that gossip, right? Because it's so easy to get caught up in that old lifestyle that we used to have. But the Holy Spirit's very faithful to identify the things that we used to do and now that we shouldn't do. Amen? So as we study the Word out continuously every day, growing in Him, we'll be able to quickly identify when we're being tempted with something that the enemy is trying to bring our way. Amen? Amen? As a Christian, we have a new nature. Say new. New. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." You understand that God has given you every single thing that you need to have a successful and victorious life, right? Whether you feel like it or not, you have all of it. Amen? Let's see, I lost my place here. "Through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and nature of virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature." I just want to read that in my Bible, because I don't think it is a little jumbly there. First Peter 2. First Peter 1. I don't think that's right. First Peter. Second Peter. Oh, it's Second Peter. I was going to say, something's not reading right there. Yeah, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who calls us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I want to continue on because I love this. These are what he's given us, okay? We're going to read what he's given us now. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, this is what you need to do. You need to add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Isn't that good? That's good stuff. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you do these things, you will be successful. If you do these things, you will be blessed. Do you like to be blessed? I want to be blessed. I want every single thing God wants to give me. How can we go wrong, right? How can we go wrong? A lot of Christians don't understand that. If you read the word, you'll be successful. If you do the word, you'll be successful. Let's see. Sinners have the nature of their father, just like a Christian has the nature of their father. We are a likeness of our daddy, and you have been given a new nature. We are not sinners. That is in nature. We are Christians who choose to sin, right? If we're going to sin, it's a choice, right? When you're baptized in water, this is where the supernatural power of God is released and your soulish man is given new life. So again, it's a supernatural experience. Who has been water baptized in the room? Who hasn't? Who wants to be? May 1st. Sunday, May 1st, right? Second service. Sign up at the hub. Sign up at the hub. That word newness there, the new state of life in which the Holy Spirit brings places us, so to produce a new state which is eternal life. Now that we're born again, we have eternal life. Amen? We have eternal life right now, but we're not going to experience eternal life in the, you know, until we go to glory. But we have eternal life right now. We're given a promise of eternal life as born-again Christians. Amen? You are a brand new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Some people might say, well, how could God really forgive me for all the horrible, rotten things I ever did? Well, he can, and he will, if you decide to serve him. Amen? And you decide to repent, he can. Now, we as humans have a really hard time forgiving each other, don't we? Of those awful things that we've done. And even have a hard time forgiving our own selves of the things that we've done and how we behaved. But you know what? God is a God of mercy and grace. And over time that you spend in the Word growing in him, you will be able to forgive yourself. Amen? And it's only through the Word that this can happen. You have to grow in the Word. So I would encourage you, if you do not have a daily devotion time, take 10 minutes, even 10 minutes. Start with 10 minutes. And Pastor has an awesome devotional. Has anyone got that? Yeah, I do. I use it every day. You can buy them at the Hub. But it's every single day he has a devotional. And even if that's the only thing you get to read that day, it will stick with you because it's full of the Word of God. Amen? And maybe establish your time with the Father where you take the time to pray and you take the time to read, and you will grow and you will change. Amen? The old man is crucified. That means that your old nature, the nature of the devil, is broken, and now you live within your new nature, the nature of God. We are no longer enslaved in sin, and we now have a choice of whether we're going to sin or not. Amen? It's purely a choice. Sometimes I think new Christians struggle with this because they think they can't overcome. But guess what? It's purely your choice. If you decide that you're going to go shopping today and spend $200, that's a choice that you make, right? It's a choice whether or not you want to choose to sin. Amen? So the power of baptism is so important. It's part of that victorious living process. So remember, Christianity is a process. You're growing, you know? You don't come out of the womb 45 pounds, you know, thank God. That's all I can say. You know, with a full speech pattern. You know, that just doesn't happen. As a baby, you're growing. You're processing through life. Same thing. As a Christian, you're growing. You're processing through life. You'll be amazed, though. The new Christians who will take the time to spend in the Word, after about 6 weeks, you start a conversation with them. You can't believe that they've only been a Christian for 6 weeks. Why? Because they've decided to make a choice to grow, and they grow fast. Amen? I grew fast. Once I got into the Word and I submerged myself, I baptized myself in the Word of God, I grew really fast in my Christian walk. And we all have that opportunity. It's just if we decide to take it. Amen? God is no respecter of persons. He is faithful all the time to each one of us. So, any questions about baptism at this point? Any questions? Yeah. Yeah. I don't find that in the Word. Yeah. It's when you receive Jesus Christ, you become part of the body of Christ. That's the only, it's the only requirement is that you receive Christ. Yes.
So if that's the only requirement, why water baptism? I mean, I was baptized as a baby.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And I do believe that in some way that was a baptism into it, but I mean, as an adult, I guess.
They don't believe it.
Do it, but I don't understand. Like, if you do it once as a child, and then, like, as an adult, you actually say that and verbalize it in your own mouth.
There's no biblical scripture that talks about sprinkling a baby and that being a baptism. There's no scripture to support that. That is a man-made ritual in the denominations that it occurs in, okay? It's something that, you know, probably makes parents feel better or whatever, but it has zero to do with being saved. It has zero to do with going to heaven. It has zero to do. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and it's through receiving him and confessing him as your Lord and Savior. That is the only way to get to heaven, right? The only way to get saved.
John 3:3.
It's the only way to get saved. So baptism that we're talking about, and I think you weren't here at the first when we first started it. So we did, I'll go back through for just for a sake so that you can get understanding, but there's all it's doing is getting the child wet. There's no spiritual, supernatural experience that's happening with that, okay? Baptism is not even required to go to heaven. It's not required to get saved, right? It's an outward profession of your faith in Jesus Christ. We talked about it just a few minutes ago. It's being totally submerged in the water, dying to self, coming up in a new life, right? I felt like something supernatural happened to me when I got finally water baptized for me, because I had never, I grew up in a Christian home, but no one ever explained baptism to me. And no one ever explained the benefits of baptism or what was happening on the inside of me. But truly, that water baptism broke off a lot of old bondages that I had, a lot of mindsets that I had, a lot of sin that I had, still struggled with. It was just like this, no, that's not happening anymore in my life. And I've made an outward profession of my faith, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me overcome these struggles. And he will, and he did for me. And so it's not required, but it's another step in your experience with Jesus. Amen? Next week, I think you guys are talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I tell you, I wish I was teaching that one to you, because that is my favorite one. but the thing is that these are the two baptisms that are, that are outlined in the Word of God and that we can experience. It's totally up to you, right?
Speaking in other tongues, that's not. Go ahead. Never mind. Go ahead.
No.
No, I just wondered how do you really do it?
How do you get baptized in the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
You ask God to baptize you, to give you that prayer language. I don't want to take away from next week's teaching. I know. I don't want to.
So it's a gift of the Spirit.
It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, yes. Yes.
Glossolalia.
Yes.
Speaking in tongues.
Yeah. And it's your prayer language, truly your prayer language. When you are speaking in tongues, your spirit is communicating directly with the Father. And the Holy Ghost is praying the perfect will of the Father over your life. Now, if you were going to take bets on stuff, don't you want to win? Don't you want to win? If you were, say you've taken a bet on something, wouldn't you want to win? Like a guaranteed win? Well, if you get baptized with the evidence of speaking in other tongues and you're praying the perfect will of God over your life every time you pray, or the perfect will of God over any situation that's going on, you're praying the perfect will. How can you not like win? That's a win-win. Amen. So there's power. And I'm not going to talk about that anymore tonight because I don't want to take away from next week. But honestly, go home tonight and ask the Lord to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And then next week, I'm sure Pastor will be teaching on it, and I'm sure he'd be willing to lay hands on you and pray for you. Amen?
Amen.
And so we'll make sure that happens. I will tell him he has some eager people waiting to experience that gifting. Amen?
Amen?
All right, more questions. More questions.
Well, I've got a statement.
Sure.
In John 3:3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he put it plainly that a man had to be born of. Can you read it?
It's Jesus 3.
It's John 3:3.
Water and spirit.
Mm-hmm. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, mm-hmm. he cannot see the kingdom of God.
That's right. That's right.
Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So, Jesus wanted us to be baptized in water because that was the outward showing.
It's an outward confession of your faith. It is. And it is something that Jesus did as an example for us. Yes, Julie.
I think that being born of water is being born in the natural.
Correct. That's correct. Yeah. That does not, see, you do not have to be baptized in water to go to heaven. That is not a requirement.
Faith on the cross.
Yes, you have to experience you have to experience a born again. You have to be born again, right? By receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and repenting of your sin. That is the only way to experience and to see the kingdom of God. That's it. Salvation. Amen. So, yes, Julie's right. That when it talks about the being born of water, that is the natural birth into this world. That is the natural birth, right? Other questions? These are good. You guys are coming up with some good ones.
Of course, when the pastor returns, he's going to tell us about the third baptism.
The third baptism?
Yeah. Which is baptism by fire.
Well, there's two baptisms, which we talked about. The baptism of water and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
According to the Bible.
Yes, absolutely. I would teach nothing else but the Bible. Amen?
But when the pastor gets here, we'll hear him explain how there's the third baptism.
Okay. Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't know. I'm not going to steal. I don't know. I don't know about that one. It's not in my book. So he'll have to take care of that one. But I'm so excited for you. Please, please, please sign up at the Hub if you want to get baptized on May 1st, second service, okay? And if you need, I always do the baptism. Before you get baptized, I take you into the room. I explain baptism to you. I do that every single baptism service. So if you have more questions, we certainly can do more teaching around that then, all right? Who has fully completed Rock Solid Faith? Like gone through both books and complete. All right, so you know that we're going to be having graduation, right? Julie, do you know what the date is? Is it May? I think it's May 16th or 15th or something like that, the middle of May. Literally, this is a cap and gown ceremony. It is. It is. It's awesome. I started teaching Rock Solid Faith. Pastor had planted a church in Maine where I had lived. And that was where I first started teaching Rock Solid Faith, and that was back in 1997. And we had our cap and gown ceremony, and it is truly a great experience to go through that. So I would encourage you, please, please come every week because you want to get through the whole both books so you can go through that ceremony. Yeah.
What do we do to get involved in this?
I think you need to check at the Hub and ask when the graduation is. I think it is May 16th, something like that. But talk to Pastor Dan. He's got the sign-up sheet, I think, at the Hub, and I'm not sure exactly how they're structuring it, but it is coming.
Gotcha.
Yeah. These books can be, they're sold at the Hub out in the foyer. You know, where the ladies kind of ask, if you have questions, you can. I think they are on order. They go fast. They're expensive. They're $45, but this is volume one, and there is volume two. And I tell you, they're great foundational teaching. You need them in your library. Amen? You need them in your library. I love the fact of this church that there is so much good, solid, foundational teaching. You learn, right? You're learning how to behave and how to act and how to love. And we don't just know that naturally. We have to be taught that. Amen? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Rock Solid Faith. Now remember, you know, there's this class on Tuesday night, and then Pastor Dan teaches one on Wednesday morning, I think, at 9 o'clock, right here. And then Minister Palko teaches one on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. So there's options. If you can't come tonight, come to one of those other classes. You still get credit for it. Is it? Thursday nights. And then you can come to my Bible study on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. In this classroom, the first classroom down here.
Reviewing a book, correct?
We are studying right now the kingdom of power, which is kind of coinciding with Pastor's teaching on the kingdom seed. And we'll be starting a new book in probably about 4 weeks called The Glory of God. So I encourage you to come out at 7 o'clock. I promise I'll let you out by 8. Huh? Yes, and I have notes, so you can get those. Yes, Julie.
There are 6 laws in Romans chapter 6. Do you have anybody that wrote a book on those? You
let me think about that, and let me go back through my stuff. I might have something on that. Yeah. Yeah, there's so much teaching here. If you don't know what's going on, look at the back of your bulletin. Okay, honestly, it lists out all the classes that are happening here. We have men's and women's ministry happening here on Thursday nights at 7. We have Bible study. My Bible study is happening at 7 on Thursday nights. There's no lack of teaching and no lack of opportunities to grow and to learn new things. Amen? So really, I encourage you to come out. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's great.
That one class changed, brought my change.
Amen. That's awesome. Yeah. We had a great anointing in class last Thursday night. It was powerful. And if you can make it out, please do. It's a good class. And it's never too late to jump in. You didn't have to start at the beginning of the book, right? It's all basic Christianity stuff that we're learning and that we're going through. And, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. I'm still learning new things, you know? God's still giving me revelation about new things. And so we're never too old, right? We're never too old in Christianity to learn new stuff. And it's important that we keep ourselves fresh in the Spirit. And it's important that we just keep learning, wanting to learn. Amen? All right. Well, guys, I am definitely letting you out earlier than Pastor. There's 10 minutes to spare. So I don't know what to say. Yeah, go ahead. That's all right.
The water baptism. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Every month. Oh, is it every quarter? Wait a minute. Let me think about this. It's every quarter. So they'll do one in May, and then they'll do another one July or August, somewhere in there. Yeah, July. They'll do another one in July. Yep. Yep. Yeah, they did. The pool had a leak in it, so I think they would have done one in eight. They would have done one probably sooner, but it kind of had to fix it, so... All right. You guys are dismissed. I love you. Take care. Have a great week. Grow. Read your word.